We're going to pick up this morning on what we've been working on for the last couple of weeks, and that is passage of scripture out of Mark 8. And it's been good going through this. Sometimes it's great to pick a passage of scripture and really have a look in depth at what it's saying. So in Mark 8, we have in verse 14 where it says, "Now the disciples have forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have no bread.'" So we've talked about the fact that these guys got total wrong end of the stick. They had no idea what Jesus was talking about. And they went off thinking that he was telling them off for not having bread. But Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was talking about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And he says, "Take heed and beware." This is something you need to take note of and you need to be aware of. So we've been looking at that. Last week, we talked about what leaven is. We know it as yeast, and it's a picture of influence. And it starts small, you just add a little bit, but it enlarges and impacts everything. And leaven speaks of the persuasion or a pattern of thought that infiltrates the mind. So it's coming in through the avenue of the mind. It's how we think. And it affects our faith, lifestyle, and our walk with God. So the impact of how we think affects our whole aspect of our life, how we're living life, what we're like in our walk with God, and whether we're fulfilling the things of God. So it's very important. And that's why there's so much emphasis on renewing the mind. The leaven of the Pharisees is what we looked at last week, and it's the religious system. And it's leaven that we have probably encountered in some of the people that we've related to, and you recognize that self-righteousness, that they believe in God, but they're based in works. And that is, a leaven that we need to be aware of and stay clear of. But the other one is the leaven of Herod. So the first question I have in reading this is, why Herod? Why not the leaven of Pilate or the leaven of Rome? What was it about Herod that Jesus zoomed in on and highlighted? Why did he ascribe this leaven to this person and not to any of the other areas that he could have chosen? So we're going to start by having a look at Herod, who Herod was, and then we will have a look at Jesus' interaction with Herod. So we're first of all, we'll have a look at historical records of Herod. Well, Herod is not just one man. Herod is the name of several Roman rulers, and we've got picture of some of them there for you. Herod the Great, Herod Archelaus, Herod Philip, Herod Agrippa. So when we read the name Herod in the Bible, it's talking about more than one person. The interesting thing is that the Herodian dynasty was descended from Esau. The whole background and underlying root is Esau, and it is a disdain for the things of God. If you remember Jacob and Esau, Jacob did not live a very good life. He was a swindler, but he had a heart for God. In contrast, we have Esau. Esau was the one who sold his birthright for a meal. He had no value for the things of God, and he pursued the natural and went after human effort and human ways. And so this is the underlying root of the leaven of Herod. It's humanistic. And when we come and have a look at Herod the Great, historically, we can find out that he was a ruthless fighter and a cunning negotiator. He was a powerful man. He was, you know, your alpha leader. He subdued opposition and maintained order. Rome liked him from that point of view, that he subdued those who were rising up against Rome. So he was very strong in his leadership. His business and organizational skills resulted in economic growth. That made him popular with the people. There was an upturn in the economy. They thought that that was great. He oversaw major building projects, including the rebuilding of the temple. So again, that made him popular with the Jews, that he would make sure that the temple was rebuilt. So you can see that he is strong leader, but he likes the popularity with the people and with the powers that be, with Rome and that. But the interesting thing is that he introduced Hellenistic or Greek ideas into Jewish culture. The humanistic way of thinking he started to bring in, and it impacted the people of the day. He also protected his position as ruler by killing potential heirs. He only left three alive. It was Archelaus, Philip, and Antipas. So three sons he let live. The other ones he had killed. He also had one of his wives killed as well. So he was a ruthless man and very much into protecting who he was. So understanding that background, we now meet him in the Bible record in Matthew. He was agitated by the news of one born king of the Jews. When the wise men came asking for where he was, it was like he entertained the wise men. He wanted to know what they knew and that, but he was agitated. Who was this that was threatening his position? He was infuriated by being deceived and mocked by the wise men. When the wise men were warned by a dream not to return by to Herod, it says in Matthew 2:16 that Herod was infuriated. So this undermining of who he was, not responding and, you know, cowering to his leadership, that angered the man. And sadly, we know that he ordered the slaughter of all the boys under two in Bethlehem. This is Herod the Great. He's called Herod the Great actually because he's the first Herod. But he is the epitome of what the leaven of Herod is like. So Matthew 2, verse 19, it says, "Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." I think it's fascinating that we end up with a scenario where we have Rome supposedly in charge of what is happening with Mary and Joseph. And I'm not sure how aware they were of fulfilling Old Testament scripture. But as we look at their life, we see that these couple, though it appears that they are under the dictates of Rome, they aren't actually. God used Rome to get Mary and Joseph to where they needed to be. They needed to be in Bethlehem for Jesus to be born there. They needed to go to Egypt, and they went there. Even in the midst of Herod slaughtering all these children. God had his son in Egypt because prophetically he needed to come out of Egypt. And then coming back into the land of Israel, I don't know how much Mary and Joseph were thinking, well, where does God want us to live? But it sounds like from this that they were looking at, well, this is the Son of God. Maybe he needs to be near, Jerusalem. Maybe we go back to Bethlehem. But because Herod's son, Herod Archelaus, was ruling and he was very much like his father, they went to Nazareth. And they were at the right place at the right time. And my encouragement is that we can look at what is happening around us, and we can look at even the world that we're living in and the restrictions that we're under, and we can have that take our focus, or we can allow our focus to become, God, what's the bigger picture? What are you doing in the midst of all this? Because nothing takes God by surprise. And God is at work in our world. And our world may not be what we envisaged it being. We may feel like we're under restrictions and we're limited in what we can do. Again, my encouragement, look for God in the midst of it, because he is in the midst of it. Now, let's have a look at Jesus interacting with the leaven of Herod. So in Mark 3, it says that Jesus heals a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. It was the Sabbath. And as the picture there shows you, you've got Pharisees that are watching. And most of our understanding of Jesus' interaction and the opposition that he had to deal with, we usually think Pharisees. But let's have a look at this passage. And looking at verse 6 of Mark 3, then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. This is fascinating, this scripture, from the perspective that the Pharisees and Herodians, they were actually enemies. They had totally different mindsets. You've got the religious mindset, the political mindset. The Pharisees were all about keeping the law, which is why they're upset over the Sabbath. The Herodians were like, they weren't worried at all about, religious speakers and what they were up to. They were in support of Herod. They had influence. They were the ones who were behind Rome. They worked with the Romans, and they wanted Herod to be king. But these two leavens came together in opposing Jesus. Then in Mark 11, verse 18, we see the same sort of thing happening. So we see in verse 18, the scribes and the chief priests heard it. Now, what did they hear? What they heard was the fact that Jesus had cleansed the temple. So that's what the picture there is of, about Jesus going in and he cleanses the temple. So the scribes and chief priests heard about that and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. Again, religious mindset, they had Jesus, they opposed him, they wanted to get rid of him. Then it carries on. Next chapter, that's how chapter 11 finishes. Next chapter, chapter 12, Jesus tells a parable. And it's only towards the end of this parable that the Pharisees realize that Jesus is talking about them. And it says in verse 12, and they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away. Jesus spoke the parable of the owners of the vineyard and how the workers in that were not giving the owner what belonged to him. So the owner sent the son, and they rose up and they killed the son. Very poignant parable. But again, you've got the opposition of the religious. We recognize that. But let's carry on. And we see in the very next verse, then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. Again, interesting. There's the Pharisees and the Herodians together. Very unusual in that time. Verse 14, when they had come, they said to him, teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Crafty question. A political question. They were drawing out Jesus into a political argument to trap him. And this spirit loves to do that. It loves to ask politically charged questions. It doesn't really care about the answer. It just cares about trapping the one that they're asking. So let's have a look at Jesus' response here. Verse 15. They carry on, shall we pay or shall we not pay? Come on, Jesus, tell us. Because they knew that either answer would get Jesus in a position where he was going against either the religious or going against Rome. But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it. So they brought it, and he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And he answered and said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. The leaven of Herod is humanistic, but it's impacted by wisdom. And Jesus, in dealing with the Pharisees, is always aiming to reach their heart. Even when he rebukes them, he's trying to uncover their heart, and he says to them many times about their hearts being hard. But when he's dealing with the Herodians, he actually replies with wisdom. And wisdom is one of the ways that God uses to impact those who are subject and living by the leaven of Herod. A lot of them, because they're humanistic orientated, they have a heart to make a difference and to bring change. They're just doing it without God in the equation. And it's wisdom that opens the door. Okay. Now, let's have a look at another scenario with Herod. Okay. This is Herod Antipas, one of the three sons of Herod the Great. Verse 17. For Herod had John arrested and thrown into prison for repeatedly rebuking him in public, saying, you have no right to marry Herodias, the wife of your brother Philip. You are violating the law of God. This infuriated Herodias, and she held a bitter grudge against him and wanted John executed. But Herod both feared and stood in awe of John and kept him safely in custody because he was convinced he was a righteous and holy man. Every time Herod heard John speak, it disturbed his soul, but he was drawn to him and enjoyed listening to his words. Most of us think of Herod as the one that had John the Baptist beheaded. But this passage in Mark gives us a glimpse behind the scene. And that is that Herod recognized who John the Baptist was. He recognized that he was a holy and righteous man. And he feared him. Obviously, he feared for his position because the leaven of Herod is very protective of position. But the typical response of the leaven of Herod is seen in Herodias. And she was the one who wanted John the Baptist beheaded. She was the one who held the grudge. She was the one, let's get rid of him. And it's interesting that Herod actually had John arrested and thrown in prison. And John was in prison for quite a period of time. I think Herod thought that, you know, if he could just keep John silent, he could keep him safe and that the issue would go away. But unfortunately, that was not the case because there was a celebration and Herodias's daughter danced, pleased Herod, and Herod said under oath, ask what you want and you can have it. Well, the mum thought that was a great opportunity and she asked for the head of John the Baptist. And so we have John the Baptist beheaded. And that was when Herodias got what she wanted. Verse 26 says, deeply grieved, the king regretted his promise to her, that's the daughter, but since he made his vow in front of all his honored guests, he couldn't deny her request. Again, the leaven of Herod will compromise values for appearance. It will go back on promises for advantage. And we see that with this political spirit. Most of us recognize that it's a pretty ruthless spirit and it can make promises. But if public opinion changes, those promises may not be kept. Things are subject to change because position is important. Appearance is important. And that marked the end, of course, of John the Baptist. But the man was troubled because he had had John executed. So what does it look like when he meets Jesus? In fact, Bible passages tell us that he wanted to meet Jesus. And he wondered if Jesus was John the Baptist back from the dead. But we see in the trial of Jesus, Herod and Jesus together. Luke 23, verse 8. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. I want you to imagine for a moment this scene. You've got Jesus standing in front of Herod. Herod is asking questions, many questions. You've got the scribes and the priests accusing him. They're saying lots. In the midst of it all, Jesus is silent. I think many times we don't recognize the wisdom of silence. We are so quick to voice our opinion, to say what we think, to jump on the bandwagon, to give voice to what we want to say. Jesus answered him nothing. While sometimes the hardest thing that we do is stay silent. And there is a time when wisdom speaks, and there is a time when wisdom is silent. And we need to be able to discern both. Well, you can imagine if Herod is questioning him with many words. He is this powerful man. He's wanting answers. Jesus is not performing any miracles. He's not answering his questions. You can imagine that that leads to agitation. Jesus is not cowering before this man who thinks that he's all important. Verse 11, then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. When Herod did not feel like he got the respect and the answers that he wanted, he returned to the normal response of the leaven of Herod, this political spirit. He mocked, showed contempt, undermined, and showed violence. Interesting note there that Pilate and Herod became friends. They were supposedly rivals. But the spirit is a spirit that likes to network with others for its own advantage, or if it's not for its own advantage, against a common enemy. And you see that happen over and over again, where the political spirit will build alliances against a common enemy. And in this situation, that was Christ, and it was the church. So in summary, the leaven of Herod, what is it? It's a political spirit based in a humanistic mindset. It excludes God. It's self-made. We'll do it my way. It undermines and opposes the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's subtle, just in the concepts, and the ways that it brings in, like Herod the Great bringing in Hellenistic thinking. It wants to change the thinking and the mindset of people. It's self-promoting and proud. It likes its position and it will protect it. So it's self-protecting and ruthless. You oppose it, you will know about it. Seeks to manipulate and control. Uses ridicule, intimidation, anger, and yes, even violence. That is the political spirit. That is the leaven of Herod. That is the spirit that Jesus said, take heed, beware of it. We don't defeat it by becoming part of it. The influence that we have against it and the impact that we can have is, number one, by integrity. Herod recognized John the Baptist. You have people throughout history, like you have Daniel. Daniel served three kings. He was a man of integrity, a man of prayer, a man of the spirit. Because of his integrity, he had influence. And the second aspect is wisdom. This is a humanistic mindset. It is based in wanting to help people and care for people. It's always looking for answers. And you see that in the life of Joseph, where he had tremendous influence because of the wisdom that God gave him. I believe that we live in an hour when God does not want us to pick up the leaven of Herod. He wants us to be a people of wisdom who know how to stand in the midst of a political situation and respond with the wisdom of God. I'm going to finish recording this now and open it up for discussion.